Now, for those of you that are kind of new to burning bush, I've got this history with wasps. They don't like me at all. I've been attacked twice while preaching. So those of you on the front row, just get ready for it. If it comes close, we're going hunting. Everybody just be ready for that. Anyways, good morning. Man, we're so glad everybody's here. What a great way to start off our service. Man, this is so exciting. Now, for you that are new, I'm Billy. I'm the student pastor. Dennis, our pastor, is on vacation, but he'll be back soon. But man, what we've been doing the last few weeks is kind of exciting. We've been preaching this concept called passages. And what that is just passages of Scripture that mean something specific or draw out of ministry for those of us who either pastors in the church or friends that have served as a pastor in our church. And I'm kind of excited about this because, you know, this kind of goes, a calling kind of goes back to the beginning. I don't know about you, but for me as a child, I was one of those kids. I was like, I don't know, every day, every other day, I wanted to be something different when I was growing up. Maybe it was a fireman. Maybe it was, I don't know, being on Space Force. It was always something. I knew I wanted to be Batman. I had it kind of narrowed down to that. But other than that, I had no idea. And I wish God or whoever, or the early days, just kind of told me. I wish it worked that way. I know from my mother was a teacher for decades. And back in the 70s, now some of y'all may really not understand this. Back in the 70s, they had installed intercoms in her school. That was kind of a new concept. So my mom was a kindergarten teacher. And she's sitting at, I don't know, carpet time in the morning. And all the kids are, Sunday, Monday, whatever that song is. I don't know, the days of the week song. And they're saying the days of the week song. And the principal comes over the intercom. And I don't know what he says.
Mr. Crystal, please don't forget, blah, blah, blah.
And she looked up at the sky. She's like, yes, sir. And she kind of went on her day. And this little girl raised her hand. And she said, was that God? Now, if it had been me, I'd been like, yes, you better be good. My mom's a professional. She would never do that. But don't you wish that it worked like that? You're sitting around doing whatever, and God speaks to you.
Billy, lose weight. Get up and run.
Something. Don't we all wish that God worked that way? He doesn't. And for me, especially for me in ministry, never worked out. I feel like from who knows how young, even my mom, there were times in life where I felt like ministry was a direction that I should be going, but man, I was Jonah, man. I ran from it. I hid from it. I ducked away from every opportunity. I wanted to be a rock star for real. I wanted to be on stage and be rich and famous. Obviously, that's not what God had directed for me. But I lived in Rome, Georgia, and we were attending, my wife and I had not been married very long. We were attending a great church. I was playing drums a little bit, kind of helping out, kind of here and there. And I met this pastor. His name was Dirk. And Dirk was hilarious. We became fast friends. And Dirk served in this little church. You probably don't know where this is. Down in Rome, south of Rome, a little community called Lindale. Just before the world falls off on the end is Wax. That's the community out there. Rock Spring, Georgia is a thriving metropolis compared to Wax, Georgia. And there's this tiny little church. There were maybe 50 or 60, but they were healthy, and they were excited, and they were growing. And Dirk was doing the music poorly, and he was preaching magnificently. And he just needed somebody to help. I was like, I'll help. And I went and I helped him do the music, but instantly, being in the trenches for the first time in my life, really submitting to moving in a direction of ministry, man, instantly I felt like, hey, this is the direction I'm supposed to be going. Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? So I started committing to pray a prayer. God, what do you want me to do? I know I want these things, but I'm feeling like you're wanting these things out of my life. And I'll never forget this. I went to the Georgia Baptist Convention, to the state convention. I want to say it was 2000, not exactly sure. And that was my prayer the whole time. It was like, God, show me, help me do this. And it was this beautiful time. I don't know if you've ever heard this guy's name is David Green. I actually have a picture of him. David Green has cerebral palsy. He is this fantastic pastor. And he preached so loud. Even though he doesn't communicate very well. It was so practical. And I felt like I was the only, and there were thousands of people in this room. I felt like I was the only person in this room. And this passage that he was preaching was from Isaiah chapter 6. Look at this. Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. And there was that passage over and over. And I said, here I am. I want you to tell me where we're going. And God said, here am I. Or tell me, hey, who's going for us? And I, at one point, finally said, wait a minute. This is me. Here am I. Send me. And that put this ball into play, this ball in motion. It's been beautiful. Pray with me. Father God in heaven, Lord, I praise you for your word. I praise you for what we take from it. Lord, I pray that you pause us for just a couple of minutes and help us to see you in this word. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Now, obviously, today, I'm going to go in a lot of directions. If you don't get anything out of this, can you lock into this, please? Look at this. God calls us to follow Christ's example in every element of our life. So I had this moment where I really felt like God was talking to me, but I didn't understand what was next. So sitting down with my pastor, this guy Dirk, it was amazing where he said, okay, this is where I was. I was in the same place as you. So let's go through this. And he took me to Romans chapter 1. And if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And he started talking about Paul and what Paul was thinking and what Paul was going and kind of paralleling it with his life and the questions that I had been asking. And I want to share that with you today. And there's three things that I would love for you to kind of dig into. Open to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And first thing, listen, we've got to listen to his call. Because Paul knew exactly who it was. Listen to this. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and singled out for God's news, which he promised long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh, and who had been declared to be the powerful Son of God by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. We have received grace and apostleship through him to bring about the obedience of faith among all the nations, on behalf of his name, including yourself, who also belong to Jesus Christ by calling. See, that's a fascinating passage of Scripture for a lot of reasons. First of all, the way Paul addresses himself. Do you understand? The first thing he says, Paul, a slave. And then he could have said, hey, I'm Paul, a Roman. I'm Paul, a Pharisee. I'm Paul, somebody important. But he doesn't. He says, a slave. And that's fascinating. We don't get that. In America in 2018, we have head knowledge of slavery. We do. This terrible, awful thing, this disgusting mark on humanity that for us happens somewhere else in the world or it happened in our history a long time ago. But when Paul says that to these people, it would have really perked their attention because I would imagine they saw a slave like today. You understand what I'm saying? For them, slavery is something that they knew, they saw, they understood. They didn't have a head knowledge. They had experience that slaves were the lowest of the low, the most disgusting, the beaten, the downtrodden, not worth talking about. And why in the world would Paul say, hey, that's me, I'm a slave? Because he wanted to get their attention and make them understand, I am so low compared to this God that is so great. And that really would have got attention to their call. Now, the same thing is true for us. We have calls. We have moments in our life. And this isn't just for pastors. It's for all of us. But we don't pay attention to them. I love what Jeff Orge, he's the president of Golden Gate Seminary. He's actually preached here before. We used to get to do these leadership things that were really big a long time ago. Listen to what Dr. Orge said. This is beautiful. A biblical call establishes parameters, protective guidelines that bracket your life. Like a giant parenthesis, a calling establishes barriers to protect you and guide your behavior. A calling means that you must say yes to some things and no to others. When God calls, life choices must be made in the context of answering that call. Anything incompatible with obedience must be rejected in pursuit of that call. Wow. Did you guys catch that? A call is the parameters. A call is the guideline. A call is, and whatever the call may be, maybe the call is inviting your neighbor to church. Maybe your call is calling that uncle you haven't seen in a long time, inviting him to church. But within those parameters, everything matters. And we shouldn't go out. In fact, we should say no to some things and yes to others to stay within the parameters of the call. What does the call look like? In Dr. Rogers' book, he actually mentions four, but I think three are more applicable to us. Three ways that God calls us. First is the bold call. I love Dennis's testimony and his story about being on the bus and really hearing God's voice for the first time saying, hey, Dennis, listen, this is what you need to be doing. You need to submit to ministry and move in that direction for the rest of your life. I think that's amazing. We see that in Scripture. Remember? Jesus first picks his disciples. It was a bold call. He's like, you, come with me. They drop their nets. You, come with me. And they just did it. Now, for me, I had that moment in that church at the Georgia Baptist Convention where everything kind of came together, but it wasn't a bold call. But for many of us in our lives, I'm sure that there have been that time when we allowed ourselves to stop and listen to God's call where things became crystal clear. For me in my ministry, I don't know what it is about the ocean or the beach. We went to camp a couple weeks ago. Man, there's nothing like camp. You understand, I want my students to go to camp. Football teams have camp. You understand? You go away for a week, you pour into what you're doing, you prepare for the season. Bands that have camp. Even like pro, all these people, you go and you pour in and you get filled up and you get ready to go. I love camp. What I love the most is, I don't know how or why, but I feel like God speaks to me the most at camp. I feel like when I'm surrounded by my students who I love, we are able to engage and talk, and when I pray, I feel like that's when God says, hey, you know that thing you've been thinking about doing? Let's do that. Or that thing you've been preparing for? You've been working on it for 6 years, but you haven't been ready to do it? Now's the time. And this year, unlike maybe last year and the year before, like, I feel like this year, being at the beach with our students, immersed in grace and mercy, well, there were so many moments where God said, hey, I got this idea, Bill. You need to move in this direction. It's going to be great. And I'm so excited about digging into the calendar and marking those things and moving that, because sometimes there is a bold call in our lives. The second way is actually more me. It's a call over time. You know, in my ministry, I first went to Wax Baptist to help. In fact, not long after I'd been there, Dirk, we had this saying. It's putting sunshine in your soul, S-O-N, shine in your soul. And we did this song. Y'all know the song? There's sunshine in my soul today. Y'all ever heard that song? We did it like every week because that was like our theme song. So I'd been there like 2 weeks. He hands me this box of cards. And it's like, oh, what is this? And I looked at it. It's like, Billy Crystal, music minister. And I'm like, whoa. I didn't agree to this. I wasn't prepared for this. I came to help out. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, listen, man, I understand that God calls us to ministry. I understand that God wants me to be here and help, but I'm not called to this. So we had to agree. I forgot what it was. Director of Music Ministries or something like that. And I did that for a long time. And then it was like a year and a half later before I finally said, okay, this is God, where God wants me to go. And I took the box of cards and actually started using them, because it happens over time. I thought God was calling me to music, and he was calling me music for a long time. But after a while, that started changing. And I was in a church, my second church, my last church, where I found myself working with the students all the time, and they didn't have a student pastor. It never really occurred to me, hey, you could be the student pastor. One day, there was this sweet little old lady. Her name was Moselle Tao. Moselle Tao. I'm coming out of choir practice one day, and Moselle grabs me. She's like, Billy, I want to talk to you about something. So we go in the Sunday school room. She sits down, and she like gets teary-eyed. She's like, Billy, I've been praying. We've got this youth ministry problem. We don't know what we're going to do. Our committee can't decide. I think we want you to be our youth minister. And I said, whoa. I don't know about that. But starting to talk to her, listening to her, and pray with her over time, and that committee. Next thing I know, I'm in student ministry. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some days, I'd like to go down to, she now lives in Cartersville, Georgia. I'd love to go down there and just kick her in the shins as hard as I can. Because ministry in youth is crazy sometimes. But it happened over time. Started out in music, doing music and youth. And even today, and you too. Isn't this true? God calls us, and things change and move, and it's beautiful to see what God's got for us next. The third way God calls for us is by selection. Some of you may have been selected. Maybe you've been a deacon. In Scripture, we see selection. Judas is no longer a disciple. They select Matthias. They actually play what we call a dice game to select him. In deacons, we have elections in lots of places. People are chosen by the call. But that doesn't necessarily mean, hopefully, in a perfect world, there's a group of people like Moselle that like stop what they're doing and they pray and they dig in and say, hey, listen, who's the right person? person for this. And then they can approach that person and say, hey, we've been praying to God over and over and over, and we think you might be the person. And I would imagine if that hasn't happened to you, it should. It could. You could be called literally by selection. But at the end of the day, here's what matters. When we listen, we are better prepared to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. But if we're not listening, how in the world would we ever be able to say that? Second one, we must commit to our call. Listening is one thing. Committing is a whole different kind of thing. Listen to this in verse 7. To all who are in Rome, loved by God, called as saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Christ Jesus for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported all over the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit, is telling the good news about his Son, is my witness that I constantly mention you, always asking my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to see you. For I want very much to see you, so I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. You see what Paul's doing here? He's not just saying, hey, I'm listening to what's going on in your church, in your ministry. I'm going to commit to sharing with everybody else, man, what you guys are doing, and I'm going to commit to come seeing and helping you get involved in what you're doing. See, Paul's obligated to not only listening, but to actually doing something about it. You know, a call is fascinating. We kind of think about this biblical concept of a call as being this, I don't know, this concept that's up in there, but it's really not. The same thing's true with your cell phone. Look at this. A call, look at the consistencies of a call. A call brings or sends information, and a call brings responsibility. Isn't that true with a phone call or a text? You get a phone call, someone's wanting to give you information. And as a result, they're wanting to give them, they're wanting you to give them some information back. There's like a responsibility. The same thing's true with text. We don't understand that it's true with text, but it's the exact same. The problem with texting is, I don't know about you guys, but for the teenagers in my life, I'll send a text. Hey, remember that really important thing that was really, really important to you, that it was really mattered and it's important, and you said that I should do that? Well, it's here. You should come get it. And they respond, they don't respond. But it's the same. The text, the call, the whatever, the scripture is sending a responsibility. It's expecting you to bring a responsibility. Look at this. With scripture, it's exactly the same. Scripture brings or sends information, right? Scripture brings on responsibility. And it's not just in Romans 1. Listen to me. This Bible, this holy word of God, isn't just easy reading when you're bored late at night. Every word in every chapter, in every verse matters. And it is giving you some sort of, I don't know, encouragement or expectation or some sort of responsibility, and it's expecting you to respond back to it. Do you understand that? All of the words in Scripture absolutely matter, and all of those words are a two-way street. But we don't want the responsibility a lot of times. But here's the thing. When we know, when we listen to what God has for us, when we commit to what God has for us, that's when it's so easy for us to say, hey, here am I. Send me. Third thing, it's a little harder. We understand that we should listen. Committing's a little harder. But the third one, we've got to live our call. We've got to live it out. Our call. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to whoever believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. For in God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Do you catch that? The difference? We got to listen. We got to commit. But then there's got to be so much more than that. We've got to live that out. And that's where we really fall apart. A year or so, I went to Wendy's. It's pretty common working in this building. You're kind of in a hurry. You don't have lunch plans. You just run down to Wendy's and get something to eat. Now, if you don't realize this, when you're coming from here, you pull in Wendy's, you have to go around the building to get everybody, all these people went, just saying, yeah, it's like, we've all been to Wendy's. So you have to go around Wendy's to get in line. Well, I pulled around, and right as I was getting up, I pulled up, and I stopped, and this dude comes flying in. There's this little space in between me and the car, and he spins right up there, and I had already been kind of sitting still, and he comes and he's flying, and dude is mad. And the car's kind of facing me where I can see him plain as day, and he's doing that soccer thing. You know that dude's, y'all been watching World Cup? Are y'all watching scores instead of paying attention to me? I know. I'm saying. So he's doing that thing, and he's telling me I'm number one over and over and over, and he's like losing his mind, right? I'm like, oh my goodness. So I kind of back up just a little bit, give him a little more space, and finally somebody else goes, and his car pulls in, and on the back of his car is like a sticker for his church. And on the other side is like a sticker saying, come to Easter services. Oh my goodness. See, there was a time in his life where he listened to something, and he probably even committed to church to some degree. But the whole living out thing, for at least that moment, he completely lost. And listen to me, and it's not just him, and it us sometimes. It's me sometimes. It sure, absolutely, positively, it's me sometimes. That whole living it out thing, we get kind of lost in. So he pulls up, and I see those six people. I laughed and laughed. Poor guy. I bet he would have felt terrible if he knew I was using the sermon, if he actually knew the context with all this is going on. But that's true. We live out what we love. I'm guessing almost everybody in this service would say to me, Billy, I would never feel comfortable standing on the stage preaching a sermon talking about my faith. But you would about something. Everybody in this room has something that they live out. In my wife's world, my wife lives out passion. It's God, her children, and Atlanta Braves Charlie Culberson. This guy named Charlie Culberson plays for the Atlanta Braves. My wife was his kindergarten teacher, him, Charlie. And dude, let me tell you, when Charlie's up to bat, the world stops, right? It's like, God, my children, Charlie Culberson at bat. I'm terrified that Jesus is going to come back and Charlie's standing at the plate. And my wife is going to go, no. He's still got two strikes. And Jesus would be like, because it's God, my children, Charlie Culberson at bat. Where am I, you may ask? Somewhere. We all act the exact same way, and we say that, and this guy pulls in, and he's nuts, and maybe he's the world's biggest Baconator fan. I don't know. Maybe he loves Baconators. My wife loves baseball. We all love something, but if we have been called to live out our faith, people should be able to see that. People should be able to understand that. So here's three practical things we can learn from all this. The first one, listen to this, God's grace and power are available to those who heed his call. And the call can be great. The call can be little. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you, I have had so much fun in the last day or so talking to the people that went on the Jamaica mission trip. They got home yesterday. I've been seven times. I wasn't able to go this year. And just here, because they go to this same little place over and over, same little town. And they've learned the people in that community. The people in the community have learned them. And I'm asking, you know, about people by their name, you know? Tell me about this person. Tell me about this person. Tell me about this person. And it's so much fun. In VBS, we had people who heeded his call, gave a week's worth of their time to Vacation Bible School. How beautiful is that? You know, every year there's some discussion, hey, should we have Vacation Bible School in the evening rather than during the day? No, we shouldn't. Because it's such a beautiful niche that most people can't fill. And it's always the same argument, well, maybe we can get some rich helpers. No. We have an army of helpers. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't help next year. We have an army of people who commit, who help, who serve. And being a pastor, being able to stand up and watching this army of people who heed his call, wow. What an amazingly beautiful thing. My heart is broken right now for our Nicaragua team. This group of people who heed God's call, but because of civil unrest, because of the problems going on in Nicaragua, they're not able to go. Listen to me.
If you've not prayed for the country of Nicaragua, our mission team, and all the beautiful ministry that's not happening right now, I'm begging you, get on your knees and pray for that country, because we've got people here ready to serve, ready to help, ready to heed his call, but for whatever reason, God's closed that door right now, and we pray that he open it. The second thing, listen to this, faith is acting on God's call. Faith is acting on God's call. Let me read it. Baptism today. And how cool was that? That was acting on God's call. Dude, how cool is that? But it's all of us. Or not all of us. A lot of us. A lot of us in this room, for whatever reason, we acted on God's call. Maybe it was right here in this baptistry. We got baptized. You understand? That's not it. There are so many more steps after that. That's step one of hopefully many, many, many steps. And the steps don't have to be big. Maybe they're not Nicaragua or Jamaica. Or maybe they're not going to Texas and serving there. They can be little. Let me show you a beautiful example of people honoring God's call. It's a goodie bag. Anybody seen one of these before? If you've been on one of my anythings, you've probably seen a goodie bag. The WOW group, Women's Ministry Group, they make these goodie bags. And listen, let's be honest. You got a bag and some stickers and delicious goodness all packed in and an encouraging note. Now, here's the reality. It doesn't take long to make a goodie bag. It doesn't take a lot of money to make a goodie bag. But listen to me. When you're especially, one time we were in Norfolk, Virginia, and our schedule was off, and we didn't know what we would do, and there was no place to get food, and I remembered, wait, we still got goodie bags on the trailer. Open the trailer! This is a miracle from God right here. But that's true in every case. This past Super Bowl, we're going to camp, we're getting ready to go, and there's all these little times where there's not enough time to do this or not enough time to do that, and maybe you're a little hungry. But guess what? Hey, man. Toasties, man. This is good stuff, and it's all these things. When we act on God's call, that absolutely make a difference. Maybe it's the end of the service today. There's going to be people at the back. Listen, Burning Bush does not just a good job. Burning Bush has done a phenomenal job of pouring into these world changers to come to Chattanooga and help in these communities. Man, I'm begging you. When you pass that plate, if it's a dollar, whatever you can do to help with, acting on God's call, that's a perfect example. And every little bit helps. Because the third thing, and this is important, you ready? God desperately wants to reveal himself to us. And through these little acts, through these big acts, through all the acts in between, that's when we see God, and that's when he literally reveals himself to us. Why do I say all this to you? Listen, here's the thing. This is, again, just me. It's all of us. Don't turn there, but look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul really sums it up for us. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. You notice how he says, I urge you. As the musicians come forward, I want you to just kind of stop and think a little bit. Well, what about your life? What about your world? What is God calling you to? Now, remember when we started this out, we said, God calls us to follow Christ's example in every element of our life. In our work life, in our family life, in our that distant family that we only talk to at Christmas, at Easter, in our neighborhood. God is calling us to so many things. Well, what do we do with that? Earlier this week, I was part of a funeral. And so I'm in the funeral procession, and we're headed to the graveside service. That sounds weird. I love that time. I love being in the car with a family, praying, thinking through what God's doing in my life, what God's doing in their life. And for whatever reason, this sermon, this time together right now, it kept kind of bothering me. It kept coming back to me. So here's the thing, that God, in a very bold way, I know that sounds weird, said to me. He said, listen, you need to understand this concept. We need to listen in such a way. We need to commit in such a way. We need to live out in such a way so that when the time comes, and the time will come when God calls us home, that we can say, here am I. Send me. Pray with me. Father God in heaven, Lord, I pray that right now in this room we listen to you. And for those of us in this room that you're talking to, I pray that we commit, that we live out whatever that is. Lord, we are so blessed beyond measure to be in a church that lives up, that cares, that shows you in this community in a beautiful way, Lord. So I pray that this time together, that we just look at you and we would do what you have us do. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand if you would. And I don't know what's going on in your heart or in your mind. We're going to have a time of commitment. And I don't know what that looks like for you. It may look like something totally different for everybody in this room. Maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. And you want to come talk to me about your faith life and putting you on this road to growing closer to Christ. I'd love to talk to you about it. Maybe you want to follow an awesome example from this morning. Because listen to me. The first thing Christ did was he surrendered to baptism. He said, hey, I'm gonna subject myself to being dunked underwater so that I can be an example to all of you. And then Jesus said, I'm going to start from there. There are a lot of us in this room. We need to start from there. I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you want to join our fellowship. Did you guys catch that? We got goodie bags to make. We got world changers to arrange. We got mission trips to plan. We got VBSs to man. We got all these things coming up. Listen to me. And it takes a whole lot of God's people to do that. If you'd love to be a part of our fellowship, I'd love to talk to you about that. Or maybe you just need to come pray. Maybe you just need to come pray and talk to God about what's going on in your life. Because maybe the call's not that simple. You know, there's nothing holy or special or different about coming up here and praying. But I tell you this, you step out on faith and walk down that aisle and things open up and it's beautiful. So we're going to sing and let's see what God